So I can now add a second large segment of voters unlikely to support Obama, advocates of the Second Amendment, who believe in the right to keep and bear arms. Obama and income redistribution. On September 18, 2007, when Obama laid out his tax fairness plan for the middle class, he proposed reducing the capital gains rate to something closer to, but no greater than, the rates Ronald Reagan set in 1986. The reference to raising the capital gains rate to the Ronald Reagan level was clever, suggesting there was nothing Obama wanted to do that Ronald Reagan, a great hero to the Republican Party and the Wall Street community, hadn't already done. The problem is that the capital gains rate has dropped since the days of Ronald Reagan. Stated more straightforwardly, Obama was proposing to raise the long-term capital gains tax rate from 15% to 28%, nearly doubling it. In introducing his plan to increase capital gains, Obama played the tax the rich themes that critics in the business world have associated for decades with the plans of Democratic Party politicians to redistribute wealth to their large client base of welfare-dependent poor. James Pethokoukas, a reporter for U.S. News and World Report, renamed Obama's plan from the senator's proposed tax fairness for the middle class to what it really is, ways in which government can collect more taxes to pay for new spending. Pethokoukas saw Obama's proposal as symptomatic of the Democratic primary candidates scrambling to figure out ways to plausibly pay for new health care, education, and infrastructure spending if elected. Pethokoukas then pointed to the result of most Democratic plans to increase corporate taxes. The government ends up collecting less capital gains tax revenue, not more. Why? The answer is fairly simple. Under higher capital gains tax rates, investors realize their gains before the higher capital gains rates kick in. Moreover, as long as the higher rates remain in effect, investors and corporate boards make decisions to reduce the amount of capital gains that have to be realized. One clear way to accomplish this goal is for investors and corporations to cut back on investments. As a result, higher capital gains tax rates tend to produce less capital gains tax revenue, not more. The economics of this principle has been proved repeatedly in the two decades since Reagan was president. In Obama's presidential primary debate with Hillary Clinton in Philadelphia on April 16, 2008, ABC News moderator Charles Gibson pointed out statistics from changes in the capital gains tax, including reductions in the capital gains tax put in place by President Clinton, showing that reductions in capital gains tax rates produce more tax revenue, and that the opposite happens. Tax revenues go down when capital gains tax rates are increased. "Well, Charlie," Obama began his answer, "what I've said is that I would look at raising the capital gains tax for purposes of fairness. We saw an article today which showed the top 50 hedge fund managers made $29 billion last year. $29 billion for 50 individuals. And part of what has happened is that those who are able to work the stock market and amass huge fortunes on capital gains are paying a lower tax rate than their secretaries. That's not fair." The higher priority for Obama isn't to raise revenue. It's to ensure fairness. Ed Morrissey, writing on MichelleMalkin's HotAir.com, properly pointed out. In order to do that, he will have the government take a bigger share of the gains and redistribute them through social programs to others. In the analysis of Obama's experience as a Chicago community organizer, trained in Saul Alinsky's radical socialist methodologies, I warned that the slogan change was nothing more than a code word for the typical income redistribution those in the left have sought since the days of Karl Marx. Here, in Obama's proposal for increasing the capital gains tax, there is proof. Obama's blindness on capital gains reveals a hard left mindset, Morrissey wrote. He sees investors always profiting and never losing, while the people who work at jobs created by successful investment as victims of this exchange rather than the beneficiaries of it. Yet the secretary, in Obama's example, earns an income because investors have risked capital to create her job. When investment is discouraged, the economy as a whole falters, creating fewer jobs for secretaries as well as all other workers. Morrissey correctly concludes the surest way to start an economic disaster is to increase penalties for investment. To the extent Obama manages to convince more economically sophisticated voters, his economic naivete truly reflects his genuine lack of experience both in politics and in business. Obama will lose another core group of voters he may not be able to afford losing. Obama's plan for universal health care. Republican Party opposition research experts can take their lead on universal health care from the strong attacks Hillary Clinton launched on Barack Obama's proposal during the hard-fought Democratic primary campaigns. During the South Carolina debate, Obama described what has become the trademark of his proposal, an extension of the